Welcome to our service for the fourth Sunday of Advent, which, as we've mentioned before this year, is of course Christmas Eve. We begin with one of my favourite Christmas carols. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendour, all for love's sake became as poor. To the lovely French tune, D'où est cette odeur agréable?
Rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake became as poor. Thrones for a manger did surrender, sapphire-paved courts for stable floor. Thou who hast God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man, stooping so low but sinners raising heavenward by thine eternal plan. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee.
And now, for the last time in this penitential season of Advent, our confession. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for the fourth Sunday of Advent. God our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant us that she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first reading from the New Testament is Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27. To God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be called Great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. My life is just too complex this week. They rattle round my mind so many areas of concern. There is, of course, the mere busyness of a clergyman's Christmas, with services to think of in 5 different churches, first on Friday evening, then on Sunday and Monday, respectively Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, plus, of course, this online service, and uniquely this year, 2 weddings the week after Christmas. The services present both creative challenges, what carols and readings to choose, what to say in 3 or 4 different sermons or addresses, as well as logistical challenges, which range from working out how to devise, lead and conduct the choral carol service at Llanina, through to whether there is travelling time to get to the next carol service, which I'm leading in just 30 minutes' time. I'm pleased to say there was. And in general, those problems are just the normal problems of my working life, with a little bit of extra busyness thrown in. There are plenty of clergymen and women who will be busier this Christmas than I am. It's just the job. It gets a bit harder as you get older, but it's just the job. But the second area, which most of you know about, is that the NHS threw in a curveball by scheduling my long-awaited knee replacement operation for the 2nd of January. So my schedule, as I write this on Wednesday, includes pre-op assessment tomorrow morning and then 7 services of different kinds in the 11 days thereafter. And by the way, our 3 sons and 2 granddaughters arrived to celebrate Christmas and New Year, bringing the total of human beings in the mix to 7 and the total of dogs to 3. On the 12th day, I shall be going into hospital for a rest, if, of course, the schedule doesn't change because they've run out of beds, which is entirely likely. Actually, though, what concerns me most deeply is none of that. What concerns me most deeply is that if things do go as one hopes and expects, I'll have to be leaving parishioners, some of whom are very ill, some of whom are grieving, without my pastoral support, such as it is, while asking other parishioners who have already themselves contributed hugely to Christmas and been very busy to arrange for my probable 6 weeks' absence. These are parishioners who include our assistant clergy and very busy lay worship leaders, church wardens and others. All of this is what's rattling round my brain all the time, focusing, or to be more strictly accurate, failing to focus on one thing after the next. There is a moment, though, every Christmas when all this stops. I suspect that there is such a moment for most of us, a Christmas tradition of some kind we keep in our families that somehow says to us, now's the time to stop. In our church in Bath, we used to run a Sunday school nativity play on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock in the evening. It was, surprisingly, extremely popular with parents, especially with mums. It somehow marked the end of all the frenetic preparation of presents and family meals, got the children out of the house for an hour or two, and essentially debounced them for the night before Christmas, offering at least some chance that they might get a few hours' sleep. It marked the moment when the mayhem ceased and you could really start to enjoy Christmas. It's different for a clergyman, of course, and surprisingly different in different years, depending what day of the week Christmas is. You don't unwind quite so readily if Christmas Day's a Saturday and you've got a Sunday service on Boxing Day, or St. Stephen's Day, as it's more properly called in the Christian calendar. But one moment I shall miss this year, because we will not be holding a midnight service, is the moment at midnight when we light the central candle of the Advent crown to symbolise the birth of Christ, the light of the world. Candlelight, of course, plays a large part in several of the world's religions. One of the symbolic horrors of events in Gaza is that the Jewish festival of Hanukkah has taken place while the war has been going on. Just a few days earlier, we also saw Diwali, the festival of light celebrated by Hindus, in their different communities in Britain. All these candles celebrate in their different ways the gift of light, which is the fundamental miracle on which the existence of the whole cosmos depends. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Christmas Day Gospel reading deliberately reprises that story in the light of God's new creation in Christ. In him was light, and the light was the life of men. Within our devotional lives, however, and I would guess that this is true in all the religions which use candles and lamps as part of their prayer and worship, within our devotional lives, what candles can do for us is to bring stillness. All the bustle of Christmas stops when we light that central candle. All the pandemonium of Christmas falls quiet with all its potential for distraction. And we are asked to look instead at one little light burning quietly and steadily, and to find somehow within ourselves a corresponding stillness as the light of Christ illuminates our hearts. And then perhaps we can remember what so often we so easily forget, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has never put it out. "Be still," says the psalmist. "Be still and know that I am God." The Christmas candle says the same. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. We begin, as usual, with the Lord's Prayer. En ta dyr hynwyd yn y nefoedd, sancteiddio dy enw, deled y dernas gwnelo dy wyllus, megis yn y nef fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddeiwn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar y ni y brofedigaeth eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, tan i seith o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. Emmanuel within us dwelling, make us what thou wouldst have us be. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Saviour and King, we worship thee. We are too conscious, Lord, that our own lives, the lives of our communities, the life of your world, is not what you would have it be, that your peace and love and hope do not reign in the world at this Christmas time, and that it is the innocent and the vulnerable, the weak and the frail, who so often pay the price. We pray for the innocent sufferers of Gaza, for the children and the elderly, for all those who have been driven from their homes. We pray, Lord, for a cessation of hostilities, an understanding that nothing can ultimately be achieved by violence and force on either side. We pray for the situation similarly in Ukraine and Russia, and for the innocent sufferers of that conflict. We remember those who suffer similarly, but with less publicity, in Yemen and in Sudan. We pray for the peace of the world. We pray for those who will be alone this Christmas, those who will be lonely. We pray that you would give us eyes to see them, hands to help them, hearts to understand them and to open our homes and our hearts to them. We pray for those members of our families whom this Christmas time we will not see for whatever reason. And we pray for those who see no hope for the new year, that you would fill them with the knowledge that you are near, that however deep the pit, you are deeper still, and that you will be with us. So take us forward through this season of celebration into the new year beyond. Fill our hearts with hope and give our hands the strength to build peace, love, and justice in your world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stars go by.
and so a Christmas blessing. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you this Christmas time and forever. Amen.